It's a great day at Maywood, for sure. Really love to see. We talk about these vision passages a lot at Maywood, about Matthew 28, Jesus telling us to baptize people, and then also take them the whole way to obeying Jesus. And Eddie and Sherry are a big piece of that process, and the folks baptizing today, a big piece of it. And Ephesians, when we talk about using our gifts, you get to see it in action as we're doing this together. Love being a part of Maywood. So today we did them in the middle because those baptisms actually set us up for what we're going to read about in the scripture today. And before we get there, I'm going to pray here in a minute, but I don't want us to lose this moment, because what we saw up there were three guys who have changed a lot. And they're three guys that if you knew them well, then it's hard to not believe in Jesus as you see God change them, right? So not everybody knows them all well. Like I know Eric, and I know Joseph, and I know James. But if you're in the room today and you're like, I really know those guys, and I've seen God work in their lives, I want you to stand up. If you're one of those people that are like, man, I've seen God do something in James's life, or you're a Maple House guy, you've seen him in Joseph's life, right? Or with Eric, right? So there's some folks here, and no matter what you thought about Jesus before you met those guys, today, it's hard not to believe in Jesus if you're paying attention to God in their life, right? So you guys can grab a, you guys can sit down. When we pay attention to Jesus doing something, it's hard not to believe in Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, you do a lot of work here in Western Independence, and you do a lot of work here in Maywood. Jesus, help us to see your works and believe in you. Help us to live in response to what we believe in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to get back to those works and to understanding, but I want to read this passage of scripture. So if you could flip ahead a couple slides, actually, if you're back there for me, that'd be great. One more slide. We'll come back to that picture. But we're going to be in John chapter 10. So if you get John 10, verse 30 through 39, there we go. That's where we're going to be in the Bible. If you weren't here lately, we've been going verse by verse through John, right? But if you, we're going to read the last verse Brian read last week. Great message from Brian. And Brian led us up to this spot where Jesus makes this gigantic claim, and people don't like it, right? It ruffles feathers. So if you got a Bible, turn to the Gospel of John. If you got a neighbor with a Bible, just look over their shoulder. But John chapter 10, starting in verse 30, here's what Jesus says. I and the Father are one. Just a little bit before that, he was talking about Jesus is saying he can die and resurrect. He can conquer death. He can save us and give us eternal life. And then he claims that nobody can snatch us out of his hand. Nobody can snatch us out of God's hand. And then he says this big statement, me and God are one. If you're ever around somebody in Western Independence and they tell you God and I are the same person, if you're like me, you know, I have those conversations sometimes with people who stop by. They're normally on meth, right? And the FBI's after them and all this other stuff, right? You know, like you hear it. The FBI is after a lot of people that kind of shake a little bit when they talk, right? So that's where Jesus is at this point, right? He's insane or on drugs, or he's God. And we normally make the assumption around here that the person we're talking to isn't God, right? It's the same assumption these people that he's talking to are going to make. Like, that guy must be wrong. And he's around a bunch of religious people who have spent decades trying to follow God. They've been doing the right things, coming, showing up for services, showing a lot of respect to God. And these rocks look really cute, right? You'd put them on your computer screen or your phone or something. It's going to take a little bit of a turn as we read this passage when we even think about rocks here. So it says, again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. So we don't do this stuff around here, right? But here's how things would work back then. If the Jewish community thought, like, you really messed up, they'd throw you down somewhere where it's hard to get up from, And then they had enough rocks around, and we're not talking about like little tiny rocks that you skip or something in a lake. We're talking about baseball and bigger size rocks. We're just going to get that person down where they can't get up, circle them up, and we're just going to hit them with rocks until they're dead. That was the plan. It's a pretty rough way to go, right? I've made people mad in my life before. I've never made people so mad they say, like, we're going to get a circle around you, Jake, and we're just going to throw rocks at you until you're dead. That's what Jesus has done. Jesus has gone so far that these guys have decided, like, we're out. We're going to stop you, right? So Jesus keeps his cool in verse 32. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Verse 33, we're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You see, these people were willing to listen to Jesus up to a point, but at some point they thought, we have stuff figured out enough. We don't need that much of Jesus. And here's the scary thing, whether you've been going to church for decades or whether you're a day clean, we can get to that spot where we think, I've had enough. I don't want Jesus to go that far with me. Verse 34, but Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I've said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be set aside, what about one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I'm God's son? Now, if you're like, what is he talking about there? That didn't make any sense to me. Here's a quick part of it. These Jewish leaders really cared about the Old Testament scriptures. And they were saying that they were against Jesus because of that. But Jesus knows the truth of the Old Testament better than these other folks do. And he's able to just quickly say, like, well, if you want to have a debate about scripture, like, here it is, you're wrong. And if you've ever had somebody really mad at you and they think they're totally right, if you just show them how they're wrong, typically it doesn't, like, solve it, right? A lot of times when we're against Jesus, the reason we tell ourselves that it's okay to do it our way, even if Jesus himself came and said, like, actually, that's not true. This isn't really the best thing for your kids. Or this isn't really what you have to do as a man. Or this isn't really what everyone does. Even if we were shown that we were wrong, it wouldn't get a lot of us to drop our rocks, right? They're not just like, oh, you're right. I'm just clear-headed thinking, right? Even though they claim that they're doing the right thing, they don't submit when they're shown that they're wrong. But Jesus goes a little further. He says, do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. I've never had one of the guys on meth tell me like, well, don't believe I'm God unless I'm doing the acts of God, right? Jesus can back up what he says. He says, but if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works. I'm going to pause us there. There's just a comma there. We're going to pause us halfway through verse 38. What Jesus is saying is that even if when you first hear about me, when you first see me, if you can't believe in me yet, here's what you should do. Pay attention to the miracles that I'm doing. If you can't get yourself over the hump to believe in Jesus, he's saying pay attention to what I'm doing. When you pay attention to the miracles that Jesus does, then you can get the second part of this verse. Let's listen to this. This is a key part for us today. That you may know and understand. Those are actually some different things. You may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. That you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. These three guys who are getting started with Jesus, they know Jesus. They understand that Jesus and God are connected, that Jesus is their Savior and their Lord. But as they go through life, they're going to know it at a deeper level and a deeper level and a deeper level. And they're going to understand it in deeper and deeper ways. And whatever spot you're in when you came in the room today, every single one of us could know and understand Jesus better. Courtney, Molly, Adam, they're right next to each other. they might all be in different spots, but every single one of them, the three of them, they could all know and understand Jesus better today. And the pathway that Jesus gives us in this spot is like, if you want to know and understand me better, pay attention to the miracles I'm doing. If you've been at Maywood for a while, it's easy to take for granted that three guys who were a menace to society probably 5 years ago, maybe 5 months ago, that they got up here and they got a mom like almost in tears about this answer prayer. They got all this big stuff happening, right? It's easy to just be like, oh yeah, that sorts of stuff happens, right? That sort of stuff doesn't happen without Jesus. People don't change like that without Jesus. There's a lot of sad moms out there who don't get to stand on a stage like this, right? Whose kids don't ever change. God has to get involved, right? If we take it for granted, we miss it. And that's what they did. Verse 39, again, they tried to seize Jesus, but he escaped their grasp. Sometimes you hate that the Bible's not like a graphic novel instead of like just the words. You're like, what does that mean? Like, how did he escape from this crowd? We don't know exactly. But here's the deal. Jesus told them, logically, theologically, here you're wrong. Jesus also said, pay attention to these miracles I've been doing. It still didn't get through to them. And it's easy to judge them and think like, oh yeah, they just didn't get it. But are we really believing in Jesus? If you went through this week with bitterness or anxiety or hatred, like, are you really living in response to believing in Jesus? Is he changing you? So, we talked about these miracles of guys just getting started. Today, I wanted us to also focus in on some folks who Jesus is continuing to work in their life. And I just want us to pay attention. Like, here's some more miracles. Here's God at work. Because when we pay attention to God at work, it opens the door for us to believe in him more. And so I'm going to have Kyle and Adam and Rachel come up on stage. And then Jerry, this is your cue to help me on the stools. So Jerry's got some friends. But so Kyle and Rachel and Adam have been in part of a two-year program called Team Captains. And if you don't know what that is, that's okay. The basic idea of it, though, is let's help these folks get right in their calling with Jesus and get deeper with what God's called them to do. And one of the practices we did, thank you guys so much. One of the practices we did was we got together each week and we prayed together early in the morning every Wednesday pretty much for 2 years. And then once a year, we'd take a Saturday morning and just read back through all those prayer requests and pray about each other and what God's showing us about each other. And we did that this last week or two ago. And each of them could talk about how they saw God at work in each other's lives. And so I just wanted to give them a chance to say, here's how I see God working in my brother or my sister's life in Christ, right? So Adam, I'm going to start with you. And Adam, will you tell us, have you seen God at work in Kyle's life?
Yeah, so, going over, the past year, it gives you a whole new perspective on things, because we're so short-sighted, we can only see in the moment most of the times. But, reflecting on the past year, and actually, we've all been together as a group for about four years at least. And so I get to see how Kyle is, maturing. And it fits along with, what we've been reading in John about the good shepherd. That's kind of what I think about Kyle and, his selfless love for, his family. We all know he's got a quite large family at his house, and he's just always praying for them, and then not only them, the people around him that he grew up with through the bad times are seeing how he is now, and they're coming to him, and he invests a lot of time into trying to you know, shepherd them and bring them along up to the level, you know, he's at, you know, because they see the change in his life, and he is completely dedicated to helping people from his past. And, you know, he talks about how he gets the conviction from the Holy Spirit to keep on keeping on with them through all the struggles and the frustrations, when, you know, I myself might give up on, you know, trying to help someone. He doesn't lose sight of, you know, God told me to help this person, so I'm going to keep helping them regardless of what anyone else thinks. And I just think that's so awesome.
It's awesome. Kyle, I'm going to switch it over to you, man. Kyle, tell us how you've seen in Rachel's life. What's the work of God? What has Jesus done that you've seen in Rachel?
Well, that's real easy, actually. So in the last couple of years, you know, there's praying for each other. Like Adam was just talking about, Rachel she's done lots of things. Her heart for people is, you know, she prays for a lot of people, and she does a lot of different things. Like, I mean, this wedding ministry, we had a wedding here we were talking about yesterday. She started the wedding ministry, and then the Women's United, that was a big deal. There's a lot of good stuff came out of that. And in this last year, she's went through, I mean, the devil's, you know, definitely give her some struggles, and some struggles where a lot of people could have used that to turn away from God or be mad at God or leave the church because, you know, it's not working out. God's not really helping me. And that's not what she did. She leaned more into God. So she's a great example of someone who, when the struggles come, some hard knocks, you know, come, she chose to lean into God and lean into her fellow brothers and sisters here. There was a position we've been praying for a couple years now that was asking to be filled, and we're looking everywhere to fill this position. And as we pray, I mean, here she is. She's right here alongside us, and she fills that position. Amongst all this other stuff going on in her life, she chose to lean into God, and God is directing her, and she's pouring out into us, you know. And I mean, that's, I admire that. I look up for that. I mean, it's a hard thing to do. It's one thing, as you heard him talking about, praying for your family and praying for your loved ones, people that you've known for many years, you know. That's, to me, that's almost easier. You know, she prays for all of us. She dedicates her life to, you know, loving on the whole church, the, you know, the fellowship, and I don't know, it's just really beautiful to see.
Awesome. Good stuff, Kyle. And Rachel, tell us about Adam. Tell us how you've seen God's work displayed in Adam.
So Adam has gone through a lot of different changes, and any one of the changes would have been difficult. When we first started meeting together, he was still leading Bikers for Christ, and he had a different job that caused him a lot of stress and anxiety. He changed his job. They moved, him and Molly and the girls moved. He handed off Bikers for Christ to somebody else so that he could be more fully dedicated to Maywood. And there have been struggles with that. I know from experience, leading a lot of different areas, it comes with a lot of weight. But Adam really took the time to talk to God about it. And he became really devoted to having solitude time off by himself and really trying to hear the voice of God. And he is now developing that further. It's influenced him and Molly's relationship. Molly's now grown to be a part of that with him. Praying for the girls, praying for Courtney and Carly, seeing his dedication as a stepfather is incredible. Just the way that he loves these girls and always wants what's best for them. It's been a blessing to me to watch that. somebody for me right now, especially somebody who cares so much about children that aren't biologically theirs and just wants what's best for them. I've seen that just the way that he shows up as a dad and as a husband. But going back to just his own internal dialogue that he's been having with God, it really makes me just focus on the importance of prayer, focus on the importance of listening to God. And really, you know, somebody once described it to me as like a radio dial, and you're just, you know, trying to turn it just right to get the best, most clear frequency that you can to hear most clearly. And Adam has not been afraid of that process. He has not shied away from it. He understands that it takes time and dedication, and he has dedicated himself to that. And that's what I would continue to say about him, is just his dedication, even when it's hard, even on those days that he didn't necessarily want to get up and do all the things, make all the changes. He just continued to just put one foot in front of the other and show up faithfully for God. And I just really admired that about him.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. You can stay up here if you want to. There's just a couple minutes left or you can go. Either way. Rachel's going. Okay. Here's what I want to talk through real quick with those three is I know them well enough. They know each other well enough. They could sit up here for a really long time and talk to you about how I've seen this and this and this happen in their lives. We're going to do one more slide. There's a question on black and white there. We're going to close out our service here. But a thought I have for you guys going out from here is maybe today, sometime before your bed hits the pillow, you have this sort of conversation with somebody. But here's what I've seen in somebody else at Maywood. This is how I see God doing a miracle in somebody's life. Because as we talk about the miracles that God's done, as we focus on what Jesus has done, it opens us up to believe in him. It fans that flame hotter and hotter of living for Jesus. And if you maybe picked up just a little bit between those three, Mark Whitworth is always with us too on Wednesday mornings. The five of us, it's not rocket science. It's just, let's get together before anybody goes to work and pray for each other. And then let's write it down so that we can flip back through this at some point during the year and then have a conversation about, like, look at all the stuff God did in your life. Like, we've been praying about this and how it's changed. There's so many testimonies about, like, God was really worried about this and this person, and then we prayed, and just to see that, like, God's done so much. Like, what was just a crisis has become this, like, source of life for other people. Any Christian can have that sort of relationship with other Christians. Like, it's really simple of, like, let's get together and pray. Let's get together and talk about what God's doing. And so I hope this question sticks with you. I hope you answer it. Today, I want to pray a blessing over you guys as we close out. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we thank you for doing miracles among us. And Jesus, I pray for every person in this room, as we talk about what you have done, I pray you would fan the flames of our faith, that we would believe in you more and more and more, so we can have life abundantly in your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.